I'd like to preach this morning around the theme, because I like themes. Me, myself, and I.
Okay.
Me, myself, and I. I know that was a song a number of years ago called Me, Myself, and I. But I want to use that today as my theme to work the word today. Is that all right?
Yeah.
It's what I prepared, so it's got to be all right. Unless somebody else want to preach this morning. But it's me, myself, and I. If you think about it, for some people, that's how they live their lives. Me, myself, and I. And really have very little regard for anybody else, because it's about me, myself, and I. Ever been around or driving behind or in front of someone who has that attitude of me, myself, and I? There's that curve as you go towards the Strawberry Mansion Bridge. And if you hit it at the, I guess at the wrong time, like that 8-ish or 9-ish time, or that 4-ish or 5-ish time, and people line up, you know about Adele, you know what I'm talking about?
Right.
And you're trying to be patient, you got your Christian attitude in, and you're lining up as you ought to wait your turn. And someone comes speeding along, won't even look at you, and tries to cut in. Me, myself, and I. And there are many, many other examples that I could use. If we're honest, sometimes that's how we all behave. Me, myself, and I. And what's even worse is when leadership behaves that way. Political leadership, religious leadership, perhaps even leadership in your home. You see, we could easily point out the examples of selfishness in the White House or other houses, but perhaps in our own spaces, in our families, it's me, myself, and I. Anybody with me so far?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody know what I'm talking about so far? If you listen to the word today, if you truly listen to the readings of four texts the church offers on this 16th Sunday of ordinary time, that's why we got to be here to listen to the word. That's why even before you come, read the word, pray the word, know the word. So no matter what happens at the pulpit, you know what the church is speaking to us today, Jeremiah. When I read that, it cut me. Because Jeremiah is speaking a word from the mouth of God that says, woe to the shepherds who mislead and scatter the flock of my pasture. Notice the Lord says, my pasture. Sometimes pastors think it's all about them, me, myself, and I. And so this word today is a woe, a warning to those who dare to scatter God's people. Reflecting right back to what we heard in Ephesians, as Paul talks about how Christ brings unity, oneness. When you see disunity, when you see discord, when you see mess, the devil has been there because he lives there, loves it. Drama, nastiness, meanness. Me, myself, and I. But I'm so glad I worship another pastor, far greater than the pastors here. I'm so glad there's a pastor named Pastor Jesus who did not live his life about selfishness. I'm so glad he was the shepherd who would lead us and guide us beyond my wants, beyond my fears, beyond myself, do right by somebody else. Jesus in the gospel today is tired. Sometimes we all get tired. Remember, he is true God, but also true man. A divine person, but nature of human and divine. He was human, tired. Just like we want to go to the mountains or the shore, or sometimes just to an amusement park or to a barbecue, just to get away from it all. That's why teachers have their summers off. Not because they don't work, because it's recuperating from the year. We need our days off and our time out. And sometimes you gotta go to the bathroom to get it. Sometimes you gotta go to the bathroom because there's so much noise and mess. A little quiet time, a little retreat. And Jesus said, let's get away. Something that we all do, especially during these months of July and August. We've been on or planning some kind of time of rest because we know the fall season, the school season, and all the other things of life are upon us soon. It's almost time to go back to school, y'all. And that was his intention. But he noticed that the people kept coming. The people kept coming. And in fact, the word says they found out where Jesus was going to go rest. You know, folks always know what's going on. You know, somebody said, I heard he's going down that street. Or maybe he's going down that street. But they found out where he was going, and they got there first. There was something about that Jesus. There was something about him. There's something about that Jesus. There's something about that Jesus that kept them to keep on searching and looking until they found him and said, we're going to stay here, camp out, and wait out until he arrives. Notice how sometimes folks hear about that new iPhone product, the new sneaker product, free giveaway, or Build-A-Bear, whatever it may be, and they'll camp out all night long. Imagine one day I would open these doors around 8 o'clock and there'd be folks lined up down Lehigh Avenue trying to find Jesus. They found, I think he's going to be here today. I'm going to get my chair and get my seat and wait on him. Wait on Jesus. He's coming. I'm not sure when he's coming, but he's coming. That's faith. That's faith, church. I'm going to wait here until he comes. The faith to say, I need you now. Not, I need you now, Jesus. Sometimes, church, it gets like that when you say, I need you now, not tomorrow. I need you now, my life. And when we know and we live out of that, it changes our behavior because there was something about that man that drew them. It drew them out. And Jesus, even though he was tired, hungry, wanted to rest and get away, it was always about them. I'm so glad. Jesus never sung the song, Me, Myself, and I. I'm so glad he didn't get caught up in what he needed and put it that above the needs of the people. Because the word says he had pity on them. They were in need. And began to do what? Give out sandwiches? Give out toys. What did he do, church? He began to teach. Teach. Nothing against social ministry. Nothing against giving out food and clothing. But if you're not teaching the ways of God, are we truly shepherding God's people the right way? I'm just asking the question this morning. Are we teaching Because sometimes if you truly are other-centered, your teaching might hurt. It might hurt a little bit. If you're truly about the other, how many times do parents, let's go there for a second, parents fail to teach? Be my friend. My mother always said, I'm first and foremost your mother. Because sometimes mama's got to say something you don't want to hear. Mother knows, you know that, right? And sometimes mother has to say a word you don't want to hear. Because sometimes mother has a wisdom of ears, elders. It's called mother wit, old folks would call it. I've been there. I know that road you're going down is wrong for you. Don't do it. And sometimes that's what someone truly needs to hear. And you need to speak. You see, you're truly about the other and loving the other and care about the other. You give them what is best for them to become what God has called them to be. You cannot get stronger unless you get stretched. You cannot get stronger, church, unless you get stretched. And we don't like being stretched sometimes. Give me a nice, soft Jesus. If you're truly growing in Christ, you might find some pain. You might find some difficult passes. But that's what it means to truly allow Jesus to be your good shepherd and guide you and lead you down the road. Husbands and wives, are you truly being led by Christ? That your marriage is on rock. So when the storms come, and they will, amen. True marriage, true courtship, true friendship is to make the other the best they can be. Yes. Imagine if every husband said, you first, babe. And every wife said, no, no, you first. We put the other first. What their needs are. What a difference it would be in marriage. Imagine if our political situation was about the needs of our people. When was the last time you heard a real good conversation from the White House about public education and the needs of our students? No, we get caught up in stuff that should not even be spoken about. Infidelity, payouts, cheating. That's not leadership. That's not what God calls us to. The same thing when it goes to teaching and education. If all you are is changing the date on your syllabi and not understanding and reading and researching the needs of the students you have today, it's all about you. And we wonder why our kids don't learn. Y'all ain't with me this morning. You wonder why our kids don't learn. You wonder why they don't learn. You cannot teach in 2018 the way you taught in 1998. You can't do it. The same way you can't pastor the same way you do today that you did before. You cannot pastor the same way you did before. The church doesn't get that. Someone said to me one time that, you know, you've changed this church.
Come on. You're supposed to. Church has got to grow.
You've changed this church.
Good.
Took out pews. Mm-hmm. Rearranged things. Mm-hmm. Called us to something different. I said, I didn't change the song. Yeah. I changed the rhythm of the song. It's a difference.
Yeah.
The same old song. It's the same old song. It's the same old song, church, but it's a different. It's a different rhythm today. You cannot do the same old thing. The same old song. Same old song, but it's got to be a little different today. To reach out. Reach out. That young person, to tell them you need Jesus. Come into this church to reach out. Those elders, remind them you're not alone in the midst of a struggle. To reach out, to remind somebody. In this house, you are welcome. How many Catholic churches would not do what we do? It's amazing how white people feel welcomed at St. Martin de Porres Catholic Church. Because, hold on, it's not about race.
That's right.
How many people who are in the struggle of addiction and recovery right here today can find a home? Because guess what? We all in recovery in something. We all in recovery. I know I am. How many people who've been told they don't matter? They don't matter. Because of whatever it may be, perhaps even by home, whatever the issue may be, one of the major issues today to keep so many people away from God and church, let me stop that, from church, is those who struggle with their sexual orientation. God loves them. But what have we done? What have we, especially in the black church, we know better. To be inclusive. We know better. I'm not changing the doctrine. I'm not changing the word. But we're going to truly minister to people and their needs today. It cannot be about me, myself, and I. It cannot be about what I want, what makes me comfortable. What is good that we might be a city on a hill, a beacon, a light to the nations, a true lumen gentium, a place where folks will drive by and walk by and say, there's something about that church. There's something about that place. They continue to ask the big questions of life. What are you doing for somebody else? When was the last time you mentored someone in your academic and professional privilege? When was a time you lifted somebody up because you have a spiritual base to reach out and say to somebody, have you brought it to Jesus yet? When was the last time you reached across the aisle? It's easy to hug our friends, but are we intentional about my brother or my sister who's not been here? And you simply say to them, how you doing? Not to mess with them, but to find out, what can I do for you? Yes. When was the last time we asked that big question about not just being mad at the political environment, but getting involved in change? You better vote. You better register. You better be engaged. It's the only way we can exercise what is right, what is ours as Americans. When was the last time all of us gave God the first cut?
Come on. Come on now. Come on.
Not about me. You're not helping me. You're not paying for my car. I'm not getting a dip out of this. I don't do that. When was the last time you gave God not just your leftovers? Because God has been so good to you. Yeah. When was the last time you looked and said, well, I'm giving this much to the wine liquor store? Cigarettes, other stuff. Because if we don't do this, it'll never happen. Because if it truly is a sacrificial offering, you give it to God. You share your blessings in trust and hope and accountability. But that question about, well, I'll give God a dollar. But if that's your best, okay. But that's a spiritual conversation you're going to have with yourself when you reflect on the word this afternoon. Is it a selfish gift? Or it truly is a gift because God has been so good to me. Is your time, so I'll give you a little bit of time. I'll give the church an hour and 20 minutes, but I gotta get over to the game, to play the game, to go here, go there. I've never heard of a movie being an hour, at least an hour and a half, hour, 2 hours. Are we stingy? Are we generous? Because I'm so glad my God never said, me, myself, and I. It was always from creation. God doesn't need the trees and the flowers, the animals, the sea, and the air. God needs nothing, but God gave them to us that we might be blessed. God gave man, woman to be partner and help me because no man is meant to be alone. I'm so glad he gave us his son. For God so loved the world. God so loved the world, church. God so loved the world, he gave us his only son that we might have eternal life. God's not a stingy God. Because guess what? God knew everybody needs someone. Everybody needs someone.
Amen.
And you have to make sure that the first one you need in your life is Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus. Jesus in the morning. Jesus at the noontime. When the sun goes down, it's Jesus. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. It's Jesus. And if I had him, if I know my blessings, I have no problem giving myself away for somebody else, to bless somebody. Because I believe somebody got a word this last 45 minutes. Somebody got something out of this morning because Jesus is the one I need. And because of him, no, we haven't changed the music. Just change the rhythm. Amen.